Thanks to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have two sisters and one brother who happens to be a pastor. They're willing to testify for the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to start with Sister Anna Jung.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I testify. So this testimony is about how I felt God's love in a prayer during this RHTS. So first, I'd like to start off with a little story. So I read this story about a little boy, and you know how you come back from school and your mom has a snack for you if she makes one for you? So, yeah, my mom does that, but anyways, this little boy, he came back, he's eating a sandwich, normal day, and then he's just wondering, why whatever his mom makes, like simple snacks or a big Thanksgiving meal, always tasted so good. And he was just wondering, so he decided that dinner, when she was going to cook, he'd find out. So while his mom was cooking, she took out a jar, and he noticed that jar, it didn't have a label on it, so he was curious what it was. So his mom got a phone call, and he's like, yes, I can go find out what it is. So as a little kid, you can't really reach the countertop, so you push the chair over, climb the chair, and gets the jar. So he shakes the jar, it's like, inside there's nothing. So he's like, why would my mom bring out a jar with nothing in it? So he decides to open. When he opens it, it's a slip of paper, and it says love. So I truly believe that God loves us. And it's like, we're a cup, okay? We're a small little cup. And then, like, God has this big bucket that he pours love on top of us. So we're just basically swimming in God's love. Or drowning in God's love. Either way. So, yeah, but like this cup, we also have a cap on top. Sometimes just we don't want to accept God's love. And this is really painful for God if we don't want to accept it. So, yeah, we're just really unwilling to open up to his love and to his blessings that has given us. So, yeah, I felt God's love during prayer right there. And you know how one of the pastors talking about that kid that said, God, I'm logging in or something like that. So I was like, okay, I'll try that. So I imagine myself, computer screen, okay. Anna Jung logging in. And then it says God logging in. She's like, whoa. Okay, so imaginary typing, hello. And then God says, hello. It's just surprising. And then I just ask just random questions that you always have for your parents that they can never ask. So I'm asking God all these questions. And then I ask a question, how is it that you want to die for someone like me, who's a sinner that doesn't deserve his love and forgiveness? And God said, because I love you. Because I want to be your friend, that's why I died for you. And that just really got me there. So I said, why did you die for us? Why would you do something like that for someone so sinful? And he said the same thing, because I want to be your friend, because I love you. And that really set me off. And yeah. And then when you're small, you grew up in church, it's like, Jesus loves little children. You know, we always learn about how God loves us, yet we never really feel it. And it's God's love is so warm. It's like fresh laundry. Yes, how I interpret God's love. No, so fresh laundry is fresh, warm, and it smells like spring. Like, you know? Yeah. And like, just to experience it is just amazing. How he gave himself, and his love is so warm. And in this, yeah, Anyways, when you experience God's love, you feel joy, and then you feel sorrow, and you feel forgiven, and you feel guilty. Really, it's just sometimes it's like we don't deserve God's love, and it's just we need to repent a lot for our sins, because we were born in sin, so we live in a world of sin. It's hard. And we're God's sheep, so we have to follow the shepherd, but sometimes they just wander away. And when God finds us again, brings us back to his love, I'm sure there's a party in heaven because he just loves us so much. I want to go to a verse, Psalms 51, verse 1 to 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. So really, when we pray, we have to think about why he loved us. And that's something that should be a motivation to repent. And now I want to go to another verse in Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Also, when I was praying, I saw everybody pray, and I saw myself over there. And there was a cross right there, a cross. And I was just praying. I was like, well, how could you die for us? And I tried looking up, but the light was so bright. I couldn't look up. I was just like, why? You know, just why? And it's just sad how mankind is turned away from God when he loves us so much. So, yeah, may all the glory and grace praise be unto his name.
Well, we thank God that Sister Anna could bear a testimony of an experience she had in prayer. So in this prayer, you saw a vision. You're imagining you're logging in. Okay, yeah. So this is a good picture we can have in mind whenever we pray. Because we want to always get connected to God. Right? You can't access your email. You can't connect to Facebook. You can't connect to many things if you don't log in. So whenever we pray, we need to log in. And then Sister Anna, you could see that she was trying to describe the love of God. Right? But many times when you're trying to describe love, it's so hard to describe. But you could tell that she really was touched by the love of God. And one of the things that she kept asking God and also thinking about was why? And then Jesus Christ would tell her, because I love you, because I want to be your friend. So the reason why God loves us is beyond comprehension. We know that we don't deserve it, and yet God is so willing to be so kind to us. Right? Let's turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's read verse 8 and onward. Psalm 103, verses 8 and onward. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103 is a really beautiful psalm. Hopefully many of you have read it before, and it describes this type of love that is so hard to describe. And actually what you find out when you experience the love of God is that you're forever changed as a person. When you experience God's love, nothing else can fill that void in this world. And then your life is striving to always seek after God because you know how good God can be. So may we all be encouraged in prayer to continue to draw after God and let the love of God fill our hearts. When the love of God fills our heart, life changes. Life completely changes. Okay. Let's invite our next sister to testify, Sister Ruth.
Let's bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. Recently, I've been thinking about blessings in disguise, and one of them that came to mind really shaped my own faith so that God became my God and not just my parents' God. And when I was in seventh grade, I didn't really have a habit of reading the Bible or praying by myself. Generally, I spent my time with God only when my parents told me to, not out of my own want or need. And later in November of seventh grade, I went to have a normal checkup at the doctor's, and I got a blood test done, and the results showed that I had an autoimmune disorder, which is type 1 diabetes, and the diagnosis was very shocking to me. And I started to worry about many things that were beyond my control. And I asked God, why was this happening to me? And in the beginning, I wasn't comfortable telling anybody because I craved normalcy. And that was not a good way to handle this because keeping it to myself without relying on God became a burden, both physically and spiritually. And I felt really lonely because I thought no one could understand what I was going through. Thank God I had the opportunity to go to Winter SSC the following month to start making my faith my own. So during Winter SSC 2008, I made several determinations for God that changed my attitude towards Him and my own spiritual cultivation. And among my goals, I wanted to start praying by myself without having my parents remind me. And I was still struggling with accepting my diagnosis, and nothing could really make me feel better except for prayer. And in the beginning, I shielded myself from telling God how I really felt. But then later on, I knew that you can no longer rely on your own strength and that you just need to give it to God. So it was a blessing of peace when I understood that I could pour out my heart to God, and I knew that I could talk to God whenever I wanted to. And this was something that I was and am currently truly grateful for, because before this, I would always talk to my brother about everything. And now that my brother has his own family, he doesn't always pick up the phone. So I really was able to turn to God wholeheartedly for comfort and support. And while placing my trust in God, I found strength and joy that transformed my own faith. And God meant so much to me that I finally began to seek after Him by myself after that SSC. So it was then that I started to consistently pray and read the Bible. And some days were definitely harder than others. And from those days, I experienced how God equips us with what we need to overcome the difficulties we may face. And sometimes the little things would touch me throughout the week, like a Bible verse or a hymn that would come to mind during prayer. And these would carry me through my worries and my burdens. And another blessing was having a support network. So these past 4 years have been overflowing with the love of God and of those around me. And I received a lot of encouragement and reminders from my spiritual friends to keep pursuing God. And even when I didn't feel that great, they would always have the right thing to say. And one of the pleasant memories I have was when a sister would remind me almost every day to find something to be thankful about. And then she would also count her blessings with me. And this would encourage me to dig deep to find something I genuinely appreciated. And this daily chat helped me have a more positive attitude through times that I felt like giving up. And so I really saw God's hand working through my spiritual friends to let me know that everything's going to be okay. And the biggest lesson from this process of making my faith my own is actually reflected in a verse in Psalms 73, verse 28. And it says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all my works." And from this verse, we can see that strength that comes from bringing everything before God is really precious, as He is the only one who can truly understand what we are going through and what we need. So I hope and pray that we all can taste the sweetness of trusting in God, even at this ArchTS or beyond the years to come. May all the glory and honor be unto His name.
Well, we thank God that Sister Ruth could make this testimony to glorify God. One verse that I thought of was in Philippians. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Here, Paul was talking about how he was imprisoned at that time. And most people would think that a worker being imprisoned, that would be a very unfortunate situation. And how would that spread the gospel? But it turned out to be a blessing in disguise for Paul and also the members in that area. Because if we read in verse 13, it says, "So that it has been evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest that my chains are in Christ." And then verse 14, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So as a result of Paul's hardship, it actually became a stepping stone for the gospel and also the believers to preach the gospel. And Sister Ruth experienced something similar in the sense that she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was in 7th grade, which is basically an illness that cannot be cured, at least by modern medicine. But as a result of this setback, you can see that Ruth began to really draw after God with her heart. Becoming a stumbling block in her faith, it became a stepping stone so that she really was able to make a determination to read the Bible and also pray regularly. And then as a result, she felt the blessing of peace. She also felt the blessing and the sweetness of trusting God. So hopefully we can experience this too. Hopefully it can come to us without any hardships or trials. But sometimes it's only through the hardships and the sufferings that we will be brought to our knees to seek after God. But it's always best not to have to go through that. Yeah. Even if we go through that, we know that God is trustworthy and He can be our reliance. And He will still be just as sweet, if not sweeter. Okay, now for the remainder of the time, I'd like to give the time to Preacher Inako.
In the name of Lord Jesus, I testify. This time, supposed to you, is your time to share God's blessing and all your story, how you receive blessing from our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very hard to me to testify during this seminar or the SSC, because we have so many counselors and workers, especially students. This is a time for us to reflect our life. But since you grant me this opportunity, so when Samuel came to me, I have no right to say no, because once people ask you to testify for the Lord, of course we say yes, right? We always have so many blessings to share with others. So today, I have about 50 minutes, right? Around. It's long. It's a long, the whole section of testimony. All right. Anyway, we can see how much I can talk about my personal story. So I think some of the youth from Urban Church or from Seto Church, you may hear my testimony before in the church already. But just give us a brief introduction about my background. I was not baptized since I am baby. Actually, I was baptized in 1981, November 1st. It is a sunny Sunday, and a very beautiful day, and I remember very clear the picture. I put on the white robe and walk into the ocean, and the pastor waiting there. So at that time, I put my mind, when I walk into this water, I will cut off the past, and I will become anew, and all the sin will be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And after that, I will become a new being, and will be the disciple of Jesus to follow Him all the way to the end. No coming back, no return, no say no. So this is when I was actually in 10th grade. Yeah, I think it's 10th grade, yes. So it's high school age, just like you. But when I came to this decision to be baptized in the name of Jesus and in the True Church, it's come actually a long story, because the year before I first witnessed my mother, she also decided to be baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I personally witnessed how she was persecuted by my beloved father just because of the faith she wanted to hold on. And at that time, I just, as a boy, at that time, actually, I was 9th grade already. I just stood there and see and just witnessed what the whole process went, just like a storm, just suddenly come to the family, and then you see a very sad situation that's happened. And that was Because my mother, she came to church to seek this truth, and she already became the truth seeker for 16 years already, actually 17 years at that time. And after she made a decision, she wanted to be baptized. Otherwise, she always just a truth seeker. She cannot partake the Holy Communion. Always just like outside another the household, the Lord. So after he have more understanding about truth, she decided he want to receive this baptism to renew his life, become a children of God. And during these 17 years of her truth-seeking journey, I accompanied my mother most of the time to the church. And these 17 years, to me, is how I grew up in a family. You face the different religion, different faith, conflict every week, every Sabbath. And just like a cycle, no end cycle. So, at that when in my childhood, when I come to church, just occasionally, actually, I have no freedom to say I want to go to church and I can go. No way. Always, yes, you know, you go to church secretly, and in the mind, always have a shadow. If I come back, I return to home, I may face some situation which you don't want to see, and you may be rebuked, or you may sometimes be beaten, and but anyway, this is just to me that's a life. And since my mother she decided to insist this faith, so she just grabbed whatever chance she can get, and then attended the church service. And most important thing is the Sabbath. Okay. So, wait until my junior high school, in the elementary school life, I have more chance to go to church with my mom on Sabbath, sometimes in the special occasion, because my parents and my grandparents, my mother's side's grandparents, they are just in the same village. So during the summertime, sometimes I can go to my grandpa's house to stay there, maybe for a month or 2 weeks, you know, just to enjoy, you know, a period of time. Say you go to your grandpa, grandmom's house, have a vacation, but actually just 10 minutes walking away, you know. It's a short distance, but it's in different environment. And at that time, I actually enjoyed a lot when I was able to stay with my grandparents. Because when I stay there, I can enjoy it. I can go to church, you know, freely. And my grandparents, whole family, actually are in the church already. They have a very beloved family. Very joyful family. So I enjoy the time spent with my grandparents. And that's the time I can attend the IE class. But my memory about IE class is, I just consider every time it's drawing. The activity is just drawing picture. And then, other than, I just cannot remember any other activity. All I have in my memory about IE class is drawing picture. And you know, I have no artistic skill, so I don't know how to draw. And so to me, it's very boring, and I don't know how to spend the time there. So I have no very impressive IE life, actually, at my childhood. But I know church have an IE class. But unfortunately, because I just attended the class occasionally, sometimes, you know, during the summer. But during the school year, I actually cannot attend. Because I is on Sunday, right? So after Sabbath, you have to specially go to church on Sunday. So your parents has bring you there. So to me, it's impossible. So what I ever attend the IE class is sometimes it's during the special convocation in the special IE class, and then I have or when I was in my grandparents' house for vacation, I can just join maybe 2 weeks or 2-3 weeks. That's all. And the other thing is, as a child, when you are young, what is the most scary thing to you in the church? You dislike, you don't like the time as a child. Huh? Prayer. Long prayer, especially if you have to pray for 30 minutes. Oh, at that time, to me, the prayer is so long. 30 minutes to a child, a boy. Just how come the preacher don't want to ring the bell? Always look at the preacher. 30 minutes to learn. That's really long to me at that time. And it's actually, it's most of the kids, they just cannot kneel down that long, right? So this is my experience in the church. But this actually tell us the fact is, in that time, the church prayer, usually during the special convocation or the sermon, the prayer almost every time 20 minutes to 30 minutes. Wow. So it's to me at that time, it's painful. Because I don't know how to enjoy the prayer. And actually, not too many adults teach the younger one, say, you how to pray, how to talk with God. No. But so today, we are so blessed. We have so many seminars, so many counselors to teach you how to pray, give it all different the method, right? So now, I think the prayer is different than before. It's good. So to me, at that time, during my childhood, I know this faith caused me a lot of the fear when I have to face my father. And because if you forget the faith, family is good, it's very joyful. But every time when you touch the topic about faith, about Jesus Christ, about church, and always it's conflict. So after this about 16 years in the family, and then my mother, she decided to be baptized, and then I just so helpless to see she was persecuted. But my mother just told me, she said, if you have chance, if you have freedom to attend service, you can go to church. You have to go to church first to find out this faith, because you have to experience by yourself first. Why I wanted to insist in the church, in TJC, and wanted to, no matter what happened, it doesn't matter. So my mom just gave me this very important reminder. When I finally have a chance to go to other place to study. So after I went to another city for my school year, high school, so I actually left my home, my parents' home, when I was 16. And since 16 years old, then I barely remain at home, because always you study outside, you know, and become busier. And I just cannot remember. I probably have no real whole month or 2 months period in remain in the house, in the home. So right now it's over 30 years now. So if you have your chance to stay at home with your parents, you have to grab this opportunity. Yeah. Because once you grow up, maybe you don't have really this wonderful time with your parents. And especially right now, my parents are still in Taiwan, and my chance is even less than before right now. So anyway, this is I went out to another city to study for my school, high school, and then my mom told me you have to go to church first to find the church, and you go to church to attend service and try to study the faith, the truth. Why mom wanted to insist so much? So that's why after I went to the city, the first time I ride a bike to find a church by myself. And I find out, the church actually located in the night market. It's very busy, very very popular night market street. And very easy to find out. It's not too far away from my place of the high school. So I went there to introduce myself. I just came from such a place, and I'm a truth seeker. At that time, I was just truth seeker and attended the service. And the brother or sister, the old brother and sister, they actually live in the church to take care of the chapel. They really give me a very warmly welcome and take care of this. They know because it is a student away from home. So they really show their love to this younger one. And besides me, there are more my similar situation, my friends in the church. Also, they are away from their home. So this is how church welcome these visitors. And so from that time on, I continue to go to church to attend service. 30 years ago, the church in Taiwan, actually, they do have a service every night from Sunday until Saturday. Every night have different type of service. So if you want to join the service, every day you can, if you have time, you can just go to church. People are there, okay? And the church always open because there are the brothers and sisters living there. So this is a wonderful environment. So to me, this is a golden opportunity, because now I can go to church freely. I don't have to really concern about my parents. So I just grabbed this opportunity, went to attend service almost every night. And I think this is something we are missing here. Today, if you say you want to go to church during the Wednesday night in Bond Park, church have no service, right? And it's far away. So, but thank God we have different channel to attend service now. But to me, at that time, at that environment, if you really want to learn the truth, the opportunity is there. You can just go. So through attending the all different type of sermon, I really got edification through this service. Him singing, prayer, and prayer session, and then a service or Bible study. So I enjoy a lot. And after about 1 year of seeking the truth, I decided to be baptized. So 1981, I filled up the application, and then say I want to be baptized. And at the time, I even didn't inform my father. I just called my mom. My mom, of course, she said yes, right? And I just consider in my heart, actually, I'm debating, struggle whether I want to tell my father or not. But I know I already decide I want to be baptized, even though I was just only 16 years old at the time. But I know my father will say no. You have to wait until which year. So I decided not to tell him. Because I think maybe my mom will inform him anyway. So I just apply the application, and the preacher just have some of the very short interview about this, because you are considered as a minor, right? And but thank God the application form doesn't have a nice say you have a parent's signature. So you just signature by yourself, and that's it. And after review the application, the preacher just ask, what if your parents know you are baptized? Now, if they want to persecute you, what are you going to face? Of course, we know. At that moment, we just say, because there's another sister was baptized with me at the same time. And her situation even worse than me, because her parents, both parents, are not church members. And the parents also persecute her a lot. But she also said, we will be baptized. After baptism, we have life, we have salvation, then everything will be fine. If we die, then we go to paradise. Why not? So preacher said, okay. So then say, okay, perform baptism. So during that baptism, I still remember we have about, I think, five were baptized together, and three of us actually are minor in high school age. And where this high school student come from? Actually, they're just a friend of our church member. So the church, the youth at that time, they also do evangelical. They go to invite their friend come to church. And some of the friends really are the one who God called, God wanted to save. So they remain in the church and continue to study the truth and decide to be baptized. And right now, after 30 years, they are still in the church. So thank God, right? So, high school, have you ever go out to invite your friend come to church during the spiritual convocation? You can do it. And because maybe your friend is God's sheep, God will call. Okay. So, we just do what we can do. So, during the high school year, then I received baptism. After baptism, I in J2 class already. And I still remember J2 class, I have more memory about J2. Because once you are in the church, and your identity is different, your mentality is different too. When I was in as a truth seeker, I just consider, because I cannot come to church every week. So I didn't really pay attention about the IE or the teacher's teaching. But once I came to church, my mindset actually changed, because now I am in the church already. I have to understand the truth. So I have to participate in the holy work. So after baptism, then in J2 class, yesterday I just find out I do have a classmate 30 years ago in Thailand church with Julia Pan? Panna? Is Julia ma? Julia. Julia Pan, right? Julia Pan, huh? Julia Pan. Her mother actually was the same J2 classmate at that time. But I just found out, because during the dinner chatting, I just find, oh, we are actually in the same class, but because her mom didn't come to church that often. So I do not have a, I don't know her well, so I forgot totally about her mom. But after chatting, actually, we are the same in the same class 30 years ago. So in J2, then we started to become really enjoy the fellowship. The IE class 30 years ago, we are in J2 class is in on Saturday evening, and then Sunday morning have the E1, E2 kindergarten class on Sunday morning. So basically, most of the J2 student, we come to help the E1, E2 class on Sunday, and spend time with the little ones, and then play sports and games with them together. So this is the life of IE 30 years ago in Taiwan. And I was greatly edified through this work. After baptism, I start to participate the holy work. From very simple one, just take care of the bicycle or the motorcycle, because we don't have this fancy parking lot. It's just you have to put the bicycle one by one very orderly and very compact, so you have more space. And you have to guard it, otherwise maybe someone come in to steal the bicycle. So you just do it, just the simple job. Like, we just do it joyfully. And all of the kids participate together. And then gradually we continue to know each other more. And then during the high school year, we have I still remember I have four brothers. We are in the same school, in high school. So we form a fellowship, our high school fellowship. And during the fellowship, we just, because, you know, in Taiwan high school, the pressure actually was very big, because you have to pass the entrance exam for college. Otherwise, people consider you have no future at all. So the only future is you have to get into college. Otherwise, if you study in high school, there is no future. So during that time, all the high school students, they have a lot of pressure. But thank God, all these four brothers, we come together and just, how about we after school, in the afternoon, we just form our Bible study. We study Bible together and then pray together and try to pray for one another. Oh, it's wonderful. To me, this is the very first I test so-called fellowship. And the fellowship is always with Bible study and then prayer. I think this is the right format, and because the preacher, he just give us some of the instruction how to gather in together and encourage one another. And we just follow. And it was really good. Fellowship with your spiritual friends. I think today we have an even better life. We have online. We have a different location and through internet, and we can also Bible study and pray together. We continue to do it, encourage one another. And then the first and second years in the church, and also the time I start to attend the SSC, and also it's the year for me to test the grace of God. SSC, because Taiwan they have so many students, so we separate in different grade. So if you are 9th grade, you have 9th grade SSC. If you are 10th grade, you are 10th grade of SSC. And also separate in different region. Okay. So the SSC is a lot of people together. Maybe sometimes over 100 together, students together. And of course, we face the same issue, same concern about summer school. And especially during the summertime, if you are going to face the entrance exam for college, sometimes you have to spend extra hour, right? So I remember one SAC for J2. I was struggling to whether to attend or not because I have to go to school to study. And that was also because I spent almost every night to go to church. So my school grade actually was not that good. So I was struggling about English because I have a very bad English teacher. So sometimes your teacher is very important, really. To me, when I was in junior high school, my teacher, he is, right now I turn back to view how he teach English. Actually, it just discourages all the students to learn. So I was so scared about English. And also, his pronunciation is very bad. Really, it's a Taiwanese, standard Taiwanese accent. And sometimes we even cannot understand about our teacher. And he also is very, very serious and very, you just, when you in a class, you are so unhappy, just hope the time passed faster. Just cannot enjoy the class. So it affected my high school year. So I have to spend extra time to make up my English class. And then the SSC actually is there. Then I have to decide whether to attend or not. And I decide I want to attend. After Friday night. But now the test trials come. When I decide I want to go to SAC, after school, my end of school, in the afternoon, then I will take train, go to Kaohsiung Church to attend it. It's about the school, the class was about to end. Then I already decide after class I will go to station and then take train to attend SAC. So during that moment, my eyes suddenly just cannot open, and it's pain. I don't know why. And just the eyes, just something like a sand coming into your eyes, and you cannot find out, and you just cannot open it, and you keep shed tears. So when you face this situation, maybe you can see that, it's better to stay home, not go to SSC. Right? But at that time, I consider, just very simple, I want to go to SSC, I already make mind, I want to there anyway. So I just pray. So this is one way, otherwise you go to see doctor, right? But at that time, 30 years ago, no way, you see doctor. I even don't know where, how to go to see doctor, you know. Because it had no health insurance. At that time, there's so-called health insurance, no way. If you have a problem, you go to find a doctor, and if you are lucky, you can find a better one. If you are not, then it's your own. You find your own way to get here. So I decide to pray. So after prayer, my situation still remained the same. Cannot open it. What can I do? At that time? Not yet. So I just attended to go to the station and then take the train about 40 minutes to the destination, and then I make a phone call to the church because I have to take bus and to get there. Right? I was painful about my eyes. Then after I make a phone call, and the sister in the church answered the phone, And I just, because this is my first time to the church, and the sister answered, this is Chu Chi Church in Kaohsiung, and who are you? What do you want? I just tell her, oh, I'm a student, I come from where, and I want to know how to take bus to attend the SAC. And then when she said, this is Chu Chi Church, do you know what happened? My eyes just completely healed. The pain just disappeared. And just like nothing happened, our eyes really can function normal. Wow, this is my first time, my first experience about this God's hearing. And because of faith, and because you decide to get closer to God, to know truth. So still, 30 years now, I still remember. When I make the phone call, the sister answered, this is true Jesus Church. And the miracle just happened. That's wonderful. So it made me really test how great our Lord Jesus is. So then I continue to attend the J2 SAC. Then after this, you know, during SAC, of course, we do a lot of the, you know, the same thing with us. Even, I think, the class even tight, more tight than our schedule. Because every day we have 8 hours of classes, 8 hours. No activities, actually. Just preacher, just lecture, one after another. So, well, this is bad or good. It just depends, right? But to me, at that time, it's good because we really learn a lot. But activity-wise, we can also share a lot. You learn from your fellow sisters, right, brothers. It's good too. So during the SAC, it just equipped our students even more zeal to serve. And I remember during one SAC, I received the Holy Spirit. And this experience is the whole church, you know, packed with students, and the prayer was so powerful. Everyone really used their totality to pray. So you can, when you pray in that environment, you really experience what is so called the power of water come out from heaven. Yeah. So during that SAC, so many students receive Holy Spirit. I was touched by the Holy Spirit, yeah, and just shed tears, cry. And after say Amen, still the tears continue to come out. I just cannot control it, don't know why. But this just make you really experience this power of Holy Spirit and make me test, yes, God's here. And all His promise is real. So after I received the Holy Spirit, then I can and try to help the IE class. Actually, it's high school age, you know, you don't know that much. But church already gave the youth opportunity to assist the IE class. I remember that when I was in 12th grade, I helped the E1 class. And now the E1 class, the kids, they are now all the grow up adult. Because it's actually only about how many years apart? 6 years apart only. So this is how all the youth at my age is. They participate in the church work. And after high school, then you have to go into the college, right? I think during the high school age is very important period of you, your life. You have to really consider what is your goal, what is your future, what things you want to do. So you have to find out the meaning of life. So
to me,
during this about 3 years of high school, I attend the service. Then I really enjoy the attending the service and envy or admire the church workers. So I find out, oh, this is very meaningful work. I enjoy it to stay in the church that much. So because maybe because of the environment is so convenient, so many members, when they was on the way to work or to the school, they just stop by the church, the chapel, and then pray. After prayer, and then go to work, to school. Oh, this is a environment at that time. And so you can see, oh, people really enjoy come to church and then pray there. And if you have a question, the preacher can answer and you can chat. So to me, I find out, I set my goal for life. Find out to stay in the church and can do church work is very wonderful. So during that 3 years, I come up with the idea and the thought about serving the Lord full time as a preacher. But this is just your thought. You don't know whether it's true or not, because it totally depends on God. If God wants to use it, God will call you, and God will open a way, and you will know it. Okay. But at that time, to me, it's impossible because of my father and my family situation. And it just have an idea and a thought there only. Then continue. I went to college and also attended the campus fellowship. We do have the good fellowship together to serve and to encourage you every week. And also participate more work in the church. And after college, then I go to serve in the army for 2 years. 2 years. So the training, I think, is good to me. Then I find out, because the military training, you know, just hammer you a lot. Because you cannot have your own opinion. You just the only thing you can do is be submissive, listen to the order. If the commander say do it, then you do. It's just like a soldier. You listen, you do it. So I think this is a very important training to our youth. But of course, in the America, we don't have this opportunity to every brother. But we can discipline ourselves. Sometimes we really have to listen. Don't ask too much why. Why I have to do this? Why? We tend to, because we are educated through this mentality, right? You have to know why. Otherwise, why I have to listen to you? But as a younger one, sometimes we don't get it yet, but we will know later. You just do it. So after military training, then I went to a research institute to work. During this 3 years of working in that place, I started to consider what I'm going to do. And sometimes we just worry a lot. Our human beings tend to worry about our future, right? Because if you don't know what you are going to put your focus in your life, sometimes you just do, you know, day by day, and it's very simple. But in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Proverbs 20:24. You turn to this verse. Men's going are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? How can a man understand his own way? God really prepared a way for you, but you will see it, you will find out later. When I working in that research institute for the food industry. At that time, I come up with the idea. I wanted to, maybe it's a good time. If I have chance, I will go overseas to study and to like come to the United States to study a degree. Because in that institute, you face this pressure always. If you do not have a degree, graduate degree, you always just like a labor. You do a very basic work. You cannot come up with your own idea to do research. So at that time, I wanted to, maybe if I have chance, I wanted to study overseas. And at the same time, to experience the preacher said, you go to afar, right, and then to preach the gospel in different countries. And you can see different view. So I just pray and ask maybe if God will arrange my steps and guide my way. If you wanted to decide to pursue your own idea, what are you going to do? What is your preparation? What do you think? If you set a goal for you yourself, then you have to come up with your procedure, right? I want to attend a class to pass the language test, TOEFL test at that time. And then you have to prepare a graduate school, you have to pass the GRE test. And you have to prepare all of the documentation. To me, I set a goal, yes, but I also was very busy in the church. And I enjoy a lot, a lot of the serving in the church. So actually, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare myself. I decided I'm not going to quit my serving in the church. So sometimes we tend to say, if I want to pursue my goal, so I have to stop my serving. I just be absent for maybe 1 year, 2 years, and then I will resume after I got my goal, right? But actually, this is not a good way. To me, if this goal, God really wants to guide you, God will provide you have opportunity or provide you a chance to reach it. So even though I was very busy at that time, and I know if God's will, I hope I can do so. And of course, I have to do my part, right? I go to attend the class after work. And especially on that day without the church, doesn't have service. So I particularly select the class I can attend to try to avoid the conflict with church service. So, you know, after we set this goal, God really give us an experience. God show His mercy to me. When I came to the state in 1993, I just wanted to give you my testimony about how God will provide you a way, even though you are not qualified. When I was very busy in my work in the church, and I do not have time to study, because during that time I stayed in the church in the chapel to help to take care of the church. So after I returned from my work, I just stay in the church, and sometimes people will come in the church, right, to pray, and you have to open the door, and then you have to check with them. So it just take out my time. So I don't really have a real concentrated time to study. So my test, total test, actually was not good. And also because my English background is not that good, right? So I actually didn't get the goal of 500. At that time, I demand is 550. The score is 550. I haven't reached that level yet. But God provide me a chance. If you have to study even harder, right? Because I think at that time I'm about 530 something only. If application people all put together, right? All of the students, and then they will select which one is better. Of course, the school admit they select those who have a higher score, right? Everything. To me, my qualification actually was very low, but God provided me a chance. A professor in North Dakota, he went back to my institute to give us a lecture, and he just knew my boss. And after he returned to the state, he received a big amount of grant from USDA Agriculture. USDA. It's a big amount of grant. And he wanted a student to do the graduate study. So after he got his grant, he called my boss. He said, "Do you have any younger youth want to study overseas? And particularly for this area, for soybean." And that was my expertise during those 3 years. So my boss just passed this information to me. Said, "Hey, you, whether you want to go to contact this professor or not, maybe you have chance." I said, "Yeah, okay, of course." Then I just contacted this professor. And the professor, after he review all my application, my document, he specially went to school, to the graduate school, say, "I want this student come to me, work with me. So no matter what, you have to accept this student." So even though my total score actually was not that level yet, and my order the GPA was not that good too. But good thing is, because I'm in that field, and the professor talked to the grade school, "I need this one." So let him come. So that's why I just come to the state. Even though I'm not qualified yet, the school just my professor say, "You have to let this student come first, with conditional, okay? And then after he arrived, then he can pass the test score." So that's how I came here. So even though I also spent time, these 3 years, I was really busy in the church, really enjoyed to serve. The same time, God provided me this opportunity. To you, if you are in this situation, what are you going to do? Are you going to quit the serving and then focus and concentrate, or you continue to work and to pray, and God will really guide your steps? So that's how I get it. And this experience just helped me continue on my study years. Everything really God guide your steps one by one. So after I come to the state, this is another training, because it's in North Dakota. You know where is North Dakota? Do you have any idea? Vincent, do you know? Huh? Huh? Above South Dakota, yes, but where is South Dakota? North Dakota. Do you know? At that time, I don't know yet. But after I came to that place, I just, it's very different. Well, time's up. But this, I just wanted to give you God really guide your steps if we really rely on Him.
Pray God will show you His way and His plan in your life.
Okay. So I think we will have
maybe in the future. Okay. Let's pray in silence. Okay. Thank God for Preacher Ho being able to testify about how God has guided his steps. Just a couple of things that stood out for me. One of them was that when he was young, you could see like there was a lot of conflict in his family because of faith. Of course, his mother was a truth seeker at the time, and his father was against the faith. So he grew up in a household where there was a weekly conflict about going to church. Now for us who have already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is something that we can prevent for our own children. Right? So this teaches us the importance of marrying in the Lord. Of course, for Preacher Ho's parents, that doesn't apply because they were seeking the Lord after already getting married. Right? But for us who have already been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to make a determination to marry in the same faith. Yeah? And we can prevent a lot of conflict in the future about raising our children. The other thing that really stood out is about how Preacher Ho, when he was young, he always placed faith first. After he got baptized, he always tried to choose God in everything. So he shared about that occasion where he had something in his eye after an exam, or during an exam, or after an exam. And that could have been a very good reason for him to not go to the SSC. But even though that was bothering him, he still took the train, he still made the call, and when the sister picked up the phone and said, "This is the true Jesus Church," he experienced God's healing. Right? Automatically, his eye was healed. This is a good testimony to teach us when we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And He often, when He draws near to us, He will provide for our physical needs. And then finally, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ brought him to the U.S., even though he was not qualified according to the standardized tests. But again, this was due to God's will. Like the verse he read for us, "A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way?" So because the Lord has a purpose for him here in the United States, you can see that he guided him here, right? Even though he wasn't qualified. God gave him the opportunity, let him meet the right people, and then he was there. Yeah. So it's the same for us. He didn't quit his holy work during that time, but he continued to serve the Lord, put God first, and God opened up the opportunity for him. Yeah. So we thank God for all the testimonies that we're able to hear today. Hopefully we can remember about God's love to us from Anna's testimony. Think about how trials can be a blessing in disguise for us from Ruth's testimony. And then finally, how when we put God first, He will lead us and guide us in a very beautiful way from Preacher Ho's testimony. Let's now conclude the testimony session with a silent prayer. Amen.